All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I decided that you and I should drink more.
I used to drink more. Now I drink less. Now I drink more.
Mm-hmm.
Sine ways, baby.
I barely drink at all.
Yeah.
But let's go. Yeah. Give me fucking Merlot. Is that sine ways? I think
he would rather drink the spit than drink the Merlot. I think that sideways was him not wanting the Merlot.
Him rejecting.
Give me the Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
Is that sideways?
I don't know.
What is a movie called Sideways?
Because wine bottles are stored on their side.
Yeah. It still sucks. It doesn't tell you anything. It should be called, like, The Wine Grump. Billy and the Wine is worse.
Sad wine man and his friend from Wings.
Did you know that he, because of 9/11, he changed his name? It used to be Thomas Hayden Mosk. An old guppy bit.
I was going to say, if it had anything to do with Wings, it has to be guppy. Yeah.
Well, it has to do with Wings, because it's 9/11 bit.
Yeah.
So we're here at this bar, and at this bar, as long as you let the bartender choose the shot, it's half price.
Ooh, okay.
And I figured the bartender would choose a random shot, and it'd be half price, and we would get become alcoholics more.
Yeah. I used to live near a bar that did that did something like that. It was a big wheel that you spun.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever came up, you would get a cheap shot, but it had to be whatever was there. Yeah.
The whiskey bar I used to go to back when I was drinking had a old fashioned of the day.
Mm.
Like that was randomly determined that day.
I was about to say, how different can old fashions be, but somebody would tell me, and I don't know that I want that. So
don't ask questions that you don't want the answer to, man.
Yep.
Anywho, I've slapped our $5 on the table.
Okay.
Here. The thing I forgot to tell you, though, is that this bar is ossuary themed.
Oh, neat. I was wondering where I felt too polite to ask where all those bones came from and what they were for. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like how people throw peanut shells on the floor.
Yeah.
It's mostly like that. It's like you throw people shells on the floor.
It's good for the wood. The oil's good for the wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, look, our shots came in skulls.
Ooh. It smells like Dr. Pepper. What is that?
Let's give it a sip. Salute.
Yeah. Prost.
Here's to our, killing ourselves.
Yep. Slowly. Okay. No, it's a chili. Yeah, no, that's just Jaeger.
They served us a skull Jaeger?
Yeah, Skull Jaeger. Huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
Ding dong ding. the computer machine go.
It do. It's a video game. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted a drink, but I guess we're here recording this, so okay.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. About time the kids learned about Captain Lucius Khan Skull Jaeger. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And I'm bringing up the thread here. the actual story of how I'm so stupid that I keep bookmarking all these threads and they all have the same title.
Right.
They're all like, I need more. Give me more. And I bookmark them, so it's hard to pick the right one.
Right. You can right click and rename those, right?
Yeah, I know. I just don't do it. So instead, I'm going to say, welcome to After Suffering. You probably remember this game from its appearance on the Colgate Comedy Hour.
This is a Colgate-ass name. This is a Crest name. Vile.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a premium episode. This is about Skull Jaeger, the revenge, revolt of the Westicans. For a while, this was our most requested game. We had three people. I think our most requested now is at six, possibly. Yeah, it tops out at six. But yeah, this was put into the dingus originally by Sam, by Steve, and by Tim.
Sam, Steve, and Tim.
Yeah. Sam says, for some reason, this game had a WWF style 900 number tie-in. It's about pirates and bubblegum. Enjoy, says Steve. And Tim says, weird name and weird theme. Game, oddly enough, came with an 80-page manual, if I remember correctly. Still pretty bad. Worst birthday present ever.
It's an 80-page, I thought it was a comic and described as a comic. It is, in fact, a novella.
It is a novella. On the Wikipedia, like one of the, it's like an Entertainment Weekly review says, parents who fret that their Nintendo-addicted kids never pick up a book should rush out to buy Skulljaeger, which requires players to browse through a lengthy, well-written adventure tale included with the cartridge in order to complete the game.
It's a very, very sweet sentence.
Yeah.
Parents who fret.
Yeah.
Should rush out, run, don't walk, to buy Skulljaeger. Yeah. Yeah. Some hero scanned the manual. And when it was a comic, I was planning to read it. But the fact that it is an 80-page Skulljaeger novella,
yeah,
I decided not to. The funniest thing about that scan is the manual part of it's the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you how to play the game in three pages. And then the scan has the passwords written in handwriting that was scanned. And the passwords that they have for this are cruel man, cruel bird, claw is mean doc, big wild angry fly, and fly home lazy sword. Do you think that's really what the passwords are, or do you think that this kid was just having fun with words?
I think he was just playing around. I think that's basically magnet poetry you just read. Either that or it's an incantation.
They're real. I just looked up the cheats.
Huh.
So to go to chapter 5 of this, fly home, lazy sword.
Why not?
And they're very weird.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
This is a super basic platform game. You play as a play as a young little swashbuckler. You got a sword and you're running around way too big levels. Everything is made up of very awkwardly drawn sprites. And you're trying to overthrow the evil pirate king that you live under, Skulljaeger.
Yes. You're one of the Westikins and you're doing a revolt.
Yes.
Skulljaeger has a level of technology to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not just like a skull pirate. He also has like a Gatling gun tank and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's kind of skeleton warriors DNA.
Yeah. This is kind of in the wild, wild west, kind of deal. Yeah. I didn't get far enough to go up against a Gatling gun tank or whatever.
I read about it in the novella. I didn't either. I just read about it in the lore. Source book for Skulljaeger.
The source book about the one day where the Westikins were able to put on green masks and criticize their ruler without being cracked down on. But then that was canceled. And so that led to the revolt. Yeah.
We miss Mask Day. It's another one of those lack of Mask Day.
Yeah. Missing Mask Day, need Mask Day.
Mask Day. And one of the best, that GameFAQs says the games you may also like, and they're usually either like wild shit you've never heard of or really good games that have nothing to do with the crap we're playing.
Right, right.
This one you may also like Super James Pond, and I think that's pretty accurate.
That is right in the pocket.
Yeah, this is a James Pond alike. Like, if you like James Pond, this is another James Pond clone.
Yeah, it is. It is not like as assety as James Pond, but it's not assety, right? Like, you know,
there's pirate assets.
Yeah, you're picking up you're picking up fruit, which you spit out. That's your projectile, and also a way for you to. So bubblegum is your superpower in this, which I don't know what that has to do with pirate anything.
It's code for chaw, right?
I don't know. I used to see pirates with either pipes or snuff.
Yeah, maybe it's code for snuff.
Maybe, I don't know.
Pirate snuff.
but like, yeah, some of the bubble gum is a projectile, and mm-hmm. some of the bubble gum will in a way that I'm sure is somebody's fetish, form a big bubble around you, and you become an uncontrollable thing that maybe would be able to bounce pretty high. I stopped playing when I reached a point where it was necessary for me to control this, and I was like, no, I am not going to learn how to do that. This far and no further. Yeah.
It's really, really difficult to control.
Yeah.
This actually segues really well into stuff I want to talk about during this episode that isn't Skulljaeger. Because I was on the coast where there are a lot of little pirate themed stores and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have such sites to show you. But I was also, it's interesting that pirates got the redemption they did where other murdery, criminally, sex assaulty things didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like you there's like cute pirates and like pirate inns in a way there aren't like highwayman and like bandit inns.
Yeah. You know?
Kind of weird that we love pirates, even though they are just like murderous rapist.
Yep. You know? Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of similar to you're romanticizing Vikings, right?
Very similar.
Yeah.
You know, they're very cute. For some reason.
lots of children's entertainment. I put this all at your feet, Robert Louis Stevenson.
Oh, absolutely. Or Hook.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God.
Peter Pan. Peter Pan really fucks shit up.
Yeah, Peter Pan. I grew up at the right time to be Hook-pilled, and I was not. Yeah, we did the whole episode about Hook. We did the video game Rufio. Adaptation of Hook. Yeah. No, I don't know Rufio. Don't care.
He was the one, the hunky.
No, I know. Hunky, I know. People. He's the meme boy. But I don't. I have nothing. I'm not above it. I just want nothing to do with it.
Yeah. It's what Dr. Venger called a roofie. Mm-hmm. Did you slip me a roofio?
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, I want to show you this logo for this pest control company I found on the Oregon coast.
Okay.
I'm gonna put it in your Slack. Are you ready?
Okay.
So open it up. There's a lot going on.
I mean, kind of a similar thing. Gangsters also have their own, this is very
cuteness.
Okay. So what we have, this is a pest control, place, I assume on the Oregon coast.
Yes.
It's a picture of the town from the Goonies, pest control place called the Killers. Their slogan is "We kill 'em, not control 'em." Killers, mm-hmm. pest elimination. Okay. The font is in it's like a wavy, it almost looks like it would be like a marquee font a little bit, made out of like lights or something like that. Mm-hmm. There are two people above the text mark. One of which is dressed up like an Al Capone, mobster kind of guy, wearing a striped suit, wearing a fedora, and shooting a Tommy gun. And he has, would that be his mall next to it?
That's a mall.
Yeah. Yeah. A lady in a red dress who is also shooting a Tommy gun. And beneath underneath them, this is their presumed victims. There appears to be, both a semi-realistically rendered ant that is just kind of like depicted flat. And then also a bug that is like in a cartoon, like extravagant death pose.
I think of the photorealistic, the more realistically rendered one as a widow, I think is the idea.
Oh,
like, I think that it is mourning.
Oh, okay.
There's very confused messaging, for them in terms of their website.
Okay.
So you go to their website and you get the silver, platinum, or diamond service. And there's all these just pictures of bugs, but there's this great picture of a bug here where it looks like it, like a bug designed their website, because as you go through, it gets slowly more and more pro bug. Look how beautiful this ant is.
So
I love him so much.
What we have, I mean, it's majestic is what it is.
Yeah. The Lion King ant.
Exactly. This ant is Rafiki. Center composed. He's standing on a rock holding up like a small piece of twig. And he is, mm-hmm. Holding it up, like Simba, to the sun. That is, like a halo around them. This is beatific in a way that ants generally are not.
It's a religious photo of an ant.
Can I get something in a religious ant?
So it made me think that, like, you know, because all of their branding is all like, we don't control animals, like, we fucking kill them.
I mean,
like, you've heard of pest control. We don't do that.
You know? This ain't got nothing to do with pest control.
Yeah, this is entirely murdering them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and their website has a bunch of pictures of bugs that, like, that are pests, and then, like, dead bugs and stuff.
Of course.
And then you get to the ones that are, like, pro bug.
Yeah. Safe, like, and effective, like, and removal.
Glamour shots.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh.
Very funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, I saw that in a parking lot.
And they're supporters of the Humane Society. Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Origins of both Pocket and Jessica.
Ooh.
Oh, no, that's Willamette Humane Society, not Oregon Humane Society.
Yes.
So, also, you know, similarly good. But
gotta hit that wasp. I don't want to see a picture of a wasp. Oh.
No. Oh, no. No. I would like wasps to be killed, not controlled. So, I went to the Oregon coast.
For your birthday,
for my
right?
Birthday.
Yeah. For you just wanted to get away.
Yeah, well, I went with my girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and we, lots of cool things. First, we stayed in a little condo thing that had a Murphy bed.
Yeah, you
available for questions. I have interacted with a Murphy bed.
I romanticize a Murphy bed, but also it just kind of seems like maybe a not that comfortable bed that that folds up into the wall.
Very comfortable bed.
Very comfortable.
I'm not
okay.
saying all Murphy beds are that. This one
was. So not necessarily. I think of a bed that becomes other stuff, I immediately go to sofa couches or sofa beds, right? Yeah. With with full
tiny bed. House nightmares. Like my dishwasher rolls out into a bed and
and everything smells like shit because I shit 3 feet away from everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, from where I do everything.
Yeah.
You know, like you worry about feces. You know, flying up onto your toothbrush. What if it just flew up onto all your cookware?
Yeah, yeah.
Tiny house.
You know? Tiny house.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it's not a trailer.
Yeah. So Murphy bed, very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But check this out. The area behind. So it's like, it looks like it is a very nice place. Like, it was like, you know, I went out because it was my birthday. Like, I was like, I'm going to spend a little bit of money on this nice place.
Yeah.
For this romantic weekend. And the bed was very comfortable. Place was very nice. The area behind the Murphy bed, like where, like the well of the Murphy bed.
Okay.
Filthy and looked like stuff that held up a roller coaster. Like, it looked like it was like full of like wheel grease and like, it's like a tiny little bit of the backside of a carnival inside your bed.
Huh. So just during the day, your intimate sleep surface is like just kind of near and pressed into gross like lath.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Slime.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Just wall, you know, just unfinished wall innards. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Very strange. So yeah. that was amazing.
Okay. You know?
And there was no reason to Murph it. we did Murph it because, like, why wouldn't we?
I mean,
but there was no, we just had a big empty piece of floor for no reason.
Right. Like, right. Yeah.
Under that, working glow stick that hadn't been fired.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. Serendipity. Yeah. Okay. Free glow stick. I mean, it might have been complimentary. It might have come at the place. Like, I wouldn't call the mint in a hotel a free mint.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I did pay exorbitant like money for that mint. Yeah. The place we went to, their little welcome guidebook, they had printed out the pages from their app.
Yay!
It's so charming. The very first thing was welcome to the Little Creek Cove app. Use this app to browse, and it's on a binder.
They just printed out screenshots of it. That's really good.
The everything has so it's printed out in tabs, and they all have things in parentheses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like red tab, welcome letters, and then owner and LLC, maps. But then you get to orange tab, places to go, parentheses, locations. Green tab, things to do, parentheses, activities. Very funny.
It's just they included the simple English Wikipedia.
There's no rhyme or reason to what gets included in a bullet point.
Okay.
Either. So lots of multi-point bullet points. So like bullet point one, to use the Murphy beds or Haida beds, living room furniture may need to be pushed to the side. Please be sure furniture is not placed in front of electric wall heaters. Each unit has a dishwasher. Place used dishes in the washer before departure is most appreciated.
That's one bullet. I mean,
yeah.
Cats and dogs living together, bullet points are very sacred, bizarre. Gary. I take my bullet points very seriously.
Now I'm gonna drop something on you here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna tell you it's not as cool as it seems based on this, but I just want you to put yourself in the mindset of seeing this.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready.
It's a photo on my phone, so I'm gonna text it to you.
Okay.
I know that's a little less convenient than Slack, but it's
my phone's right here. Don't worry.
All right. So this, when we were searching for restaurants, we saw this on Google Maps. Waiting for it to hit.
I'm gonna leave the wait in on that. The pause. Yeah. I'm not gonna cut that out because I mean, so what you just sent me.
Anticipation.
It's weird that it has two reviews, and you were. I mean, yeah. it was a 38-minute walk. So this is a Google Maps listing for something called the Unknown Mist. And the photos. The photos are just two indistinct. Just yep. Great gradients, two identical indistinct gradients.
There's a fucking phone number.
I want to call it.
I went to it.
Okay, all right. I'll wait till the story. It. Okay, you obviously you went to the Unknown Mist. Is it a restaurant?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
If you want it, the reviews on this Google Maps thing spoil what the Unknown Mist is.
Okay.
But it's when you go there, it's just a spot. There's nothing of note.
Oh.
it's like an empty lot that leads down to the beach.
Okay.
And this is your last chance to live in wonder before I spoil.
I mean, I cannot have false comfort. So that's yeah. Tell me.
Give it was to an me. ARG at some point.
God damn it.
Yep, I know.
Man.
But I still had the experience of finding on Google Maps looking for a restaurant, seeing something called the Unknown Mist with just two blank pictures.
And that counts for something. That really does. I can't say yeah. It's nothing. All right.
Next series of photos I'd like to send you. Because good time. On one of the towns on the way to the coast, there was an unlicensed Harry Potter themed potion shop. Okay.
like an actual brick and mortar place, like somebody pays rent on this.
Boy howdy. The inside was done really well, and they eventually were going to serve food. The outside, where we ate, we got food from a different restaurant and ate here, is made up in this very charmingly amateur way, where the two things I want you to pay attention to are the proportion and perspectives on the buildings drawn on this Quidditch pitch, and the fact that all the characters who died through Harry Potter are represented through tombstones for kids in this Harry Potter themed attraction.
Okay.
On the Oregon coast.
Okay. Just a tasteful, loving tribute to the to those we lost along the way.
I thought it was Halloween related.
Okay.
And then I realized, oh no, these are just the characters who died from the show. Or from the books. Dobby, elf, gets his own little special grave with all these little rocks on it.
Oh.
These little custom-made tombstones they made out with the toss hole and this this mural of a Quidditch pitch where each, like, they get the building right for one of them.
Okay.
And all four of the other ones are really weird magic eye perspective nightmares. Like, impossible shapes.
Yeah, huh. This is not as well done as I was picturing in my head.
this is not good. This outdoor section was pretty silly.
I mean, and literally just, I mean, just cardboard. Wow. Cardboard headstones. Sorry. This is me reacting to a photograph. Yeah. That's a little, I would be underwhelmed if I was a kid and this is the magical world.
Of Harry Potter. Like, I love that they show the deaths.
Yeah.
Later, in a pirate-themed antique mall, I found these two little guys. Okay. I'd like to just show you these friends.
Okay.
Here. I know that for some people this will be torture if people don't like reacting to things, but we're describing them.
Yeah.
The idea of a Harry Potter cafe that shows all the deaths. That's funny. And look at these guys.
Oh, we got a boner
look at
cycle.
These skull jaggers.
Yeah, you got a boner cycle here. It is. Yeah. I mean, badass. That is it metal? Yes, it is. This is a little tchotchke. This is something you would put on a shelf. It appears to be. Or is it part of like a larger thing? Like it looks like it's like wired and something.
Freestanding.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. But no, it's a motorcycle that is made of bones. And like instead of the headlight, there's the skull there and all that. Very cool. I like that quite a bit. I'm also into the shitting skeleton.
The angry punk shit like, I'm shitting in one of it skeleton.
Yeah. He's got the mohawk, the pink mohawk. Why is he shitting, Gary?
I don't know. I also cannot tell you for the life of me why I didn't buy that. Because it feels like it'd be a perfect like gag gift. It's such a funny object.
Yeah, yeah. I mean even just to
like,
have
I cannot like, believe I didn't buy that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's gone. You know? It's long gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the Oregon coast now. But then the non-visual element of all this is I went to the aquarium and I did the backstage learn about the life cycle and touch a jellyfish experience.
What?
I faced my fears.
You faced your... I thought that was just a Twitter joke. I thought you were like, don't you hate jellyfish? Yes. Okay. So tell me everything, please.
Yeah. I went... Because I turned 41. The second birthday of COVID where I wasn't allowed to do something. So I wanted to do something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to go to the aquarium because I like the aquarium, not in a Troy McClure way, but I love, you know, going through that shark tunnel at the Oregon Coast Aquarium. It's incredible. And I saw they're like, hey, do you want to upsize your tickets or whatever? And this backstage jellyfish experience.
And here's the trick about upsizing your ticket, like for the, you know, for the special exhibit. I have never done that and regretted it, you know, like it's kind of always, it's always worth it to do it is what I have found. So I'm very happy that you decided to roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just saying yes to it.
Yeah.
You know, cause of birthday stuff. And cause I was like, you know what? I'm going to face this fear.
Yeah.
Like I'm interested in jellyfish. I like learning about them. And it was great.
Yeah.
It was 45 minutes. So it was like, substantial is very educational.
Uh-huh.
And it also featured a little bonus thing where they did them on different days.
Okay. So
they had a backstage octopus and a backstage jellyfish experience.
Okay.
I have to be going on the jellyfish day. Mm-hmm. But we passed the octopus who was being fed, whose name is Impasta, because they used to have a jellyfish named Noodle, and this jellyfish looks like him. So they name him Impasta, and we got to see this jellyfish like play with its trainer for a while and refuse to be put away back into its tank.
Wait, a jellyfish or an octopus?
Octopus.
Apologies. Okay. I was going to say,
this is on the way.
Like I know octopuses are
jellyfish don't play.
Yeah, I was going to say there's probably a little bit of anthropomorphism going on, but octopuses are like they're smart enough that is plausible.
100% playing.
That rules.
It was awesome. And then also a gigantic moray eel named Banner that was like one of the biggest, scariest things I've ever seen.
Oh, they're awful. Yeah.
Yeah. Just in a tank. Like there's this whole backstage of the aquarium where some animals never get ready for prime time. They just live this like super pampered life.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. he had little tank mates. He had some, because he's so well fed, like he doesn't hunt. So he has some like fish that live there with him.
Nice.
Yeah, super cool. And then to the jellyfish room where I learned all about how they breed jellyfish and the life cycle of jellyfish.
Oh, it's fucking horrifying. Like they're like fungus. They're like space fungus.
Yeah, they're clones.
Mm-hmm.
Like a bit of them shows up, like sticks itself to the wall as a polyp and then creates copies of itself can do so for like the ones that they had, they got in the 90s and they only changed them out in like 2012 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had the same colony of jellyfish on the wall in this little breeding tank,
mm-hmm.
creating tiny little jellyfish clones for 20 years.
No, yeah, they bud. It's uncanny, and like the young ones are super fucked up looking. Like what are they call them, nymphs? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oof.
They had the big scary red ones, which we don't get to touch because those ones really hurt. The sea nettle. Mm-hmm. These were moon jellyfish, which typically they can sting you, but you just feel a tingling because they usually can't break through your skin.
Right.
And we went over to the little tank and like washed our hands and we like pet jellyfish.
So how was that?
Weird. Smooth. It's like petting a wet car. A little bit.
I just I just from seeing them, you know, if you see them on the beach, they look like even in the water they look like plastic grocery bags, right? So I imagine that must be what it felt. Yeah. can I pay a bunch of money to pet this bag?
Yeah, and learn about the bag.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You would have been proud because all of my make a waitress laugh.
Okay.
Skills were on display. Just the absolute worst. Like, she's yep. like, you know, don't put your hand in anything unless I tell you to. And I'm like, what about a straw? And she did not think it was funny. You know, every single dumbass joke I made. Mm-hmm. And then I got so jellyfish like fascinated that I started asking actual questions about them.
Right, right, right.
You know, barely an animal. Do you know they're considered plankton?
Are they now?
Yeah, because they're animal, but they're considered plankton because they cannot swim against the current. They're so weak that they have to move where currents move.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why you get blooms of them, right? Is because specifically because of the heat. It's like a pressure front. They're carried on the currents like wind. Yeah.
Yeah. They just you know, they kind of you see them swing around, but they're barely doing anything.
Right. Right. It's more just just trying to like steer. It's only they have like a sail or something like that.
Yeah. And just, yeah, no thinking. And the weird little, we got to see where their eggs are. Like, they keep their eggs in their, like, gonads, which is the same place as their stomach. So it's like, these ones, if they had purple stuff inside them, they had eggs. And if they had orange stuff inside them, they had brine shrimp. Like, they were full.
Just an all-purpose.
But it looked the same.
Just an all-purpose, you know, sack inside.
Yeah, just some kind of gross clover-shaped sack.
Yeah.
In my head body. Like, they're so fucking weird and terrifying.
Oh, man.
I faced my fears. They did not jump out of the water and grab my face.
Yeah, cool.
But they do when they're floating in the tank. You want to touch them on the top of the bell.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to get stung, and you don't want their little arms to grab you, and you just rip them off and hurt them.
Yeah.
But they flip. So it is a little bit like there's a timing element.
Okay.
It was a little, like, slow whack-a-mole if like every once in a while the moles you would whack would turn around and poison you.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. So you're kind of playing chicken with them and whether or not they will decide, well, not decide, whether or not their reflex will fire and they'll go upside down. Huh.
Yeah. Really weird.
I just, in a million years, I never would have thought that like, hey, come pet this thing. I would not look at a jellyfish and say, pet this. It sounds cool. Like I would do it, but
it was
like,
super cool.
Yeah. It's very counterintuitive.
Well, it was like $15. It was like a very good value for a 45 minute lecture about how jellyfish work and a chance to touch a jellyfish, which again, not interested in that, like in against my will, but doing a controlled environment, helping me face my fears.
Yeah. So we're surrounded by professionals. Yeah. No, that's a great way to do it. I'm proud of you. And that's good. You
know, here are the chill ones. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I decided to do something nice for my birthday.
These ones are used to humans or as used to anything as something with only a basal ganglia can be.
Yeah. Just a nervous system tries to hurt you, you know, like just the weirdest, like barely extant creature.
Yeah. Just
so fucking strange.
Yeah. Here is something that it kind of by definition has no internality.
Cannot know things.
Yeah,
just, like they're classified as animals because they react to stimulus. Like we just now are seeing the idea that they have a structure on the top of their bell that can be considered an eye or is eye-like because it reacts to light.
Okay,
but like, it doesn't react to anything else. It doesn't like recognize things, and there's nothing to recognize stuff.
Right,
but they can take in light as an input.
Yeah, and that probably, I mean, is. It kind of along with other stuff that like helps them sense depth, right?
Yes.
You know, like,
closer
like,
to the like, sun.
Yeah. Which way is up? How much pressure am I feeling? What's the temperature? Like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Without anything making those decisions or anything. It just happens. Right.
It just,
you know, if light move up, if no light move down or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're battle bots, you know,
hence all the flipping. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the flip bots are so powerful.
They're modeled after nature. Jellyfish, nature's battle bots.
Yeah, very much so.
That rules.
Yeah, it was super cool. Mm-hmm. We went down to the boardwalk of Newport, which is very funny, where it's like all tourist shops and like the freshest seafood you'll ever have, like right next to a fish rendering plant that smells like a fish rendering plant.
Can't hide the fish rendering plant.
It has to be, you know, there's like windows, like one of the restaurants we walked by, you could sit inside and there were windows that went into the fish rendering plant. So you could like literally see how the sausage is made while you're eating the sausage.
Oh no.
Just absolutely horrible stuff. Oh, very funny.
Nice.
Yeah. Great weekend.
Yeah. Sounds like a good trip.
Very fun. Like exceedingly fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fun story I wanted to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Skull Jaeger.
Back to Skull Jaeger. Do you think this guy, whatever his name is, Storm, had to deal with jellyfish at any point? Probably. He's on an island.
I didn't see any in the long play I watched, but yeah. It would be a pirate, you know, hazard.
Yeah.
I think.
But like, this is not an especially terrible video game. It's also just real nothing, you know.
I would have been fine if I rented this as a kid.
Yeah. Like it was a momentary diversion on the road to the grave, basically. You know, and just like I couldn't get into the bubblegum bouncing or whatever. It's just weird because the idea that like, okay, we're going to make this a little novella as well. I don't know what they're getting at. And really, ultimately, the only thing I can come away with is that this is developed by, again, the studio we've always said has the best name, Real Time Associates, baby.
I love those associates. it feels transmedia property in a big way. Like they're going to make a Pirates of Dark Water style cartoon. And it became famous for that.
Yes.
You know, for having that thing. The FAQ for this features an end part where the writer of the FAQ, the letter, correspondence, the short GameFAQ code Skull Core. So to find the Skull correspondence, where this FAQ writer, Sam, reached out to the president of Real Time Associates to get a copy of the comic.
Yeah. I just recently started to enjoy your older games, specifically games for the Super Nintendo and Game Gear. Currently, I'm working on what I believe to be the only fan-made walkthrough for the game Skull Jaeger for the SNES. However, I'm having difficulties defeating the game. So he's asking for tips. Like, hey, can you shed any light on this?
And the manual. He says, like, I'm probably having these difficulties because I didn't have the manual. Could you send that to me because it has some of the walkthrough? Because apparently the novella does have hints.
Yes.
About it.
Yeah. And the response, thank you for your interest in our old games. Skull Jaeger really goes back there. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of the comic book, the manual, or even the game for that matter.
Yeah. Not that I would have remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did Real Time Associates go defunct? Like this, man.
I love that he says, from the president of the company, he says, like, there were hints on how to play the game in the comic book. I would consider that to be bad design now.
Yeah, probably.
You know, he like goes back on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, he can't help. It's very sweet that he wrote back.
Wow. Wait. Okay. So this was the FAQ of the month winner in 2007, but this was updated in 2018.
Maybe that's when the letter happened.
This is okay. So there was an 11-year jump between version 1.10 and 1.11. Where I went from 10/29/2007 to 2018, but it doesn't say when the letter. Award. Yeah, so he wins the award. Okay, there is a version history down here. Why did he update it in 2018? Version
because he won the award.
Okay, huh?
Yeah. Some updates confirm that for my guide that my FAQ won the game of the month. And therefore was not removed when I deleted my guides. I add dashes around each section, just some formatting stuff. But winning the award made him want to go back to it.
Yes. And he included a link in the last paragraph of the introduction. So he wrote this back in 2007 when I think Real Time Associates was still
in real
thing.
Time.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is where they have the manual. You can get a link to this. So that's another reason why he updated it.
I went to the Real Time Associates website. There's a careers header. There are no open positions at this time.
Oh, no. Like you can't become brand ambassadors.
Okay. Can I be part of the street team for Bug?
Yeah. Go out to the streets of Portland and tell people about Real Time Associates. Have you heard the beige news?
Oh, shit.
It's so good. It's so broiling good. I love them. The game is not so bad. If I had found it as a kid, I probably would have ate it up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
like a Harley's Humongous Adventure kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'd have been into it.
Yeah.
And you know, Pirate Fever was a bigger thing in the 90s than it is now.
Pirates and Cavemen, man.
Ron's.
Yeah. Yeah. Captain Ron. My family loved watching Captain Ron. Thing about Captain Ron is, when you're very young, that movie is very long and nothing happens.
It is a very slow kind of comedy about a drunk on a boat.
Yep.
If I recall, I saw that in the theater for some reason. Like as a kid, I saw the commercial. I was like, Captain Ron.
Ooh. Well, I want to learn more. I recognize Kurt Russell. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't know why I was so into it.
What was with Kurt Russell in boats? Because he was on Overboard too.
Yeah. He probably just wanted to spend some time on some boats.
Yeah, I probably did like an Adam Sandler. Wow. Yeah. For a movie with Kurt Russell and Martin Short, like nothing happened. There's nothing memorable about it. And yeah, huh. Yeah.
90s Martin Short.
Oof.
Clifford. Do you have any other Skulljaeger?
No. I was kind of like, I walked in knowing that you had some anecdotes in the chamber. I got nothing about this. There's nothing else on Game Facts. I mean, I could say more about the Real Time Associates website, but it's pretty depressing.
So, pretty bleak.
Yeah. A lot of renders from Bug here.
Oh man. I do kind of miss this era of just like, here's an original property and we're starting with the video game, mm-hmm. but we're going to assume everything is going to go further. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This idea of just making a Cheetah Man,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of nowhere. Like, I really do kind of miss that.
There's a kind of plucky hubris to it that is hard not to find mm-hmm. endearing.
It's hard to think of how that's done now, though, because when it's done now, it's always done for, like, maximum cuticules.
Yeah.
You know, like, Bug Snacks had a big merchandise push, mm-hmm. in addition to being about bugs that are food.
Yes.
But it didn't, it wasn't the same kind of thing. It was just, like, cute. You know, plushables.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Did you know that some people call plush animals stuffies?
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah.
Never heard that before.
I've heard people call them furries too. Like not related to the subculture or anything like that.
No. Just, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, news just, to me. Stuffies.
Yeah.
Sounds like a bad restaurant.
Come on down to Stuffies. Home of the home of our patented shrimp gobblers.
Yeah. It does seem like world a place famous. Where you get the brine special, you know?
Oh man. Bottomless corn at Stuffies.
Yeah, I love that stuffy corn.
Oof, good corn. It's the end of summer here. My mom went and picked up some corn on the cob and brought some over to me, and I boiled it up and I had it as a side dish and I ate it. And I thought, man, this is good corn. And then I realized that's from The Simpsons, but also something's gone wrong where I can eat this and think, man, that was some particularly good corn.
Yeah, our taste buds change.
They do.
You know, it's one of those things, like, I appreciate, like, that's why kids don't like vegetables. It's not they're idiots. Yeah. It's like science. Mm-hmm. You know, like, as you get older, you know, the way that you taste things changes.
Yeah.
So now, like, I love it. Like, it's some corn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know that it was, like, especially good corn. It was just, it was fresh, right? It was fresh, and I used the good Irish butter on it, you know? Like, the... Yeah, it was good corn. Weird. What a boring thing to kind of make your day, that like the highlight of your meal was the corn.
Yeah, good corn, baby.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't canned, it wasn't frozen, right? It was just good corn.
Yeah, I won't poo-poo some frozen corn either. Like,
yeah,
corn.
No, I eat it, but it's more just like it's part of like a, you know, frozen vegetables, which I will eat to get vegetables mm-hmm. in, you know, because it fills out a meal, you know.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We ran really around the gamut this episode.
We really did. Jellyfish, corn, yeah. Shrimp jellyfish. Cobblers.
From jellyfish to corn. Come down to Stuffy's. try our new bell full of corn.
Not that kind of bell. It's a bell full of corn.
Yeah, it's something like a wet bag full of corn.
Yep. Oh, man. No. Yeah, to see, just people as
much. Do eat jellyfish. It's fucking wild.
Do they?
I think that they can be dried out.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense than what I was thinking. I was picturing like frying it, like just like pan frying it, which probably it would just reduce it to nothing. Yeah.
Many ways. Shredded.
That'd just be so slimy. Ugh.
Yeah. Cut into noodles, boiled.
Mm.
Yeah. Pretty gross to me.
No, thanks.
Surprisingly crunchy texture.
Oh, see, a surprise crunch is bad. I don't want surprise crunch
is really what ruins that.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that I found out that people eat starfish and the it's described as creamy?
No, but I like that doesn't like, that doesn't surprise me because I know urchin is a thing too, like more, like real adventurous sushi will have urchin with it. I've heard it described like, oh, it's like eating a big mouthful of sand. Yeah. I'm not going to turn my nose up at it. But I will. I'm not going to eat it if I have a choice.
Yeah, you don't have to be diplomatic, Cole. It's okay for you to think a food sounds gross.
Yeah, it sounds gross, and I don't care for it. I don't like the idea of it. There are lots of fish I will eat. That's not one of them.
Yeah. My bandmates brought to my attention a bumper sticker that was like, I eat tuna, and it showed a silhouette of a guy going down on a girl. It's talking about making that. That's what the EP stands for in all of our EPs. Because we want to make sure everyone knows.
Right. Oh, eating pussy.
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Cool. Yes.
Yeah. Tuna diving.
I don't. You know? I have never cared for that euphemism.
Oh no. There's no good way to say. There's no good way to say eat pussy.
Yeah. Like,
it always sounds foul. That's why I deploy it, because it's like, it's always shocking.
Yeah. You know? It is pretty much always shocking for just being a thing that, you know, thing to do. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a memory is flooding back. Sorry. I was looking at the Wikipedia, the Wikipedia page for Real Time Associates. And I was like, what a game called Funhouse. Oh, I rented Funhouse. Yes, I remember Funhouse.
No, sure.
Yeah.
Funhouse. Yeah. That sounds familiar. We could do a lot of Real Time Associates games on this show.
Oh, we could. We've done many of them. We've done The Rocketeer. Iron Man, XO Manowar, and Heavy Metal.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you to everybody who put this into the old suggestion thing. And thank you for voting for it. Thanks all around.
Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
Nothing else, really. This is a patron bonus episode, right? Because it was voted for?
Yes. Yes.
Or no. Yeah. So thanks, patrons. We appreciate you.
Yeah. I think that's
blowing all your money on Murphy bets. So
it's just all that money's in the wall. I think that's everything. Until next time, don't flip that jelly.